Hello and welcome to the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier and John Carson. News has been a little bit hard to come by lately, but we managed to pull a few things together for you guys this week, so I hope you guys enjoy. Let's get things started with this study published by the APA this week. Oh my goodness, have you guys seen this? The APA just came out with a new study, quote-unquote new study, that is linking playing video games to aggression. And, a lot of people have very, very differing opinions on this, so I'm really curious what you guys think about it.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't surprise me with some people. I think some people, if you sit still for like 3 hours straight, you might get kind of aggressive or get kind of on edge. And I suppose there is violence and a lot of different things going on in the game. But I don't know. I feel like we see a lot of studies like this year in and year out. And I think certain media just affects people differently, and it probably should be done on a case-to-case basis, not a wide-ranging, you know, if any kid sits down and plays video games, they're going to be more aggressive. And it also probably is a little bit of an age thing too. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, 27-year-olds, for example, go play Grand Theft Auto and then get all hyped up, where maybe younger kids who have kind of a more natural propensity to kind of act out or whatever, you know, yeah, maybe that's not what they should be playing. The other thing too is how different is this from going to a theater and watching a movie with a lot of action in it, or, you know, a lot of violence or whatever. Sure. People will react to Straight Outta Compton differently, you know, depending on who you are. So I guess it's kind of because it's wide ranging, because I've kind of seen this before, and because, again, I mean, I don't know if it's the video games or, I mean, the article is hilarious. It's the Game Informer one with a bunch of old people playing Wii. I mean, I don't think they're going to get all whacked out either, but
guy looks pretty angry in that picture.
Yeah, he does. But I don't know. I mean, the way I see it, I don't like it when studies or any article or whatever, people in general come out with just kind of a general bland, you know, broad brush and say, well, all video game people are like this, all games are like this and stuff. I think people have different takeaways. How much exercise do you get before you play? You know, are you eating well? Stuff like that. I feel like sometimes that influences you more than the actual game.
Well, and it's worth noting, let me lay a few things down here, John, and then I'll jump over to you. Sure. But just to be clear, so this isn't a new, like, the report is new, but this is not a new study. What they did is they took about 150 studies from the last decade or so and have kind of compared them all against each other to look for trends and stuff. And there's several issues with this, starting with that many of the studies they used were not peer-reviewed. Also, they did not do a good job of controlling for gender of the player. And they did show across almost all of the studies that the aggression that they are saying is caused by video games decreases with age, which is also kind of an interesting stick in the spokes. But, John, what do you think about all this?
I mean, just looking over this, it's they do say, like, there is no single risk factor for that constantly leads to aggression, and video games just happens to be one of those risk factors.
Yeah, I mean, I was just joking before the show. I get stressed out at work. Does that mean that, like, I shouldn't work anymore?
Yeah, I mean, you should probably quit your job, just live on the street.
Right,
just
exactly.
Don't worry about it, man.
I mean, I get stressed out when I'm in social situations. Should I be antisocial? It's just, I don't know.
I can see it happening for people, that games can make people aggressive. I could see it, like what Tom was saying, like, go to see a movie that could make people aggressive too.
Sure, like there's literally anything.
Right, but I don't think it's going to be this blanketed statement that games do make you aggressive. It's for anything that's psychological. It depends on a person's environment, their mental state, all those kinds of things. And I guess it's interesting that they have come to this conclusion, but it's not definitive in any way.
Sure, yeah, and I would agree with that as well. You know, what I find really interesting about this is I feel like maybe it's because a lot of the scientists in question that are running these studies are not necessarily gamers themselves, but I would argue that the community contributes a lot more to aggression than games themselves. I'm not really – the only time that I'm aggressive in a game is if the game itself is, like, broken or, like, I feel like it's cheap or something like that, you know? Like, I probably get aggressive with Dark Souls because of the game, but I also play Dark Souls – with the expectation that it's going to make me angry.
Yep.
So, you know, that's another thing is, you know, sometimes people want to, it's competition. Competition should foster aggression. That's just natural.
And that's kind of what I was going to say too, is it a story mode that's making people aggressive? Is it multiplayer? Because that could be just someone talking trash over
Doom?
You know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, And that's the thing. Different games have different appeal. I mean, you know what? You're supposed to be competitive in Destiny, or you're supposed to be competitive in Madden, or you're supposed to do this and that. But how are, aside from being, I guess, a multiplayer game, how are Madden and Destiny that similar, right, other than that someone's talking trash over the headset or whatever?
But also, if you're going to look into aggression, you should look into other states of mind as well. Is Journey making you more empathetic?
Yeah.
Is, I don't know. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, does Dear Esther make you bored to tears? Like, right. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, but sure. And beyond that, it's worth noting that a lot of these studies involved self-reporting. Right. And for those that don't know, self-reporting is basically garbage. Like, it's the worst possible way to collect data. And so, I mean, I don't, especially because there is a stigma on saying, yes, like, video games control my personality. Like, I don't know. I feel like the only kind of person who would self-report, yes, I had a rise in aggression, is someone who's like, video games make me aggressive.
Yep.
And certainly there are people out there who it does. Yeah, certainly there are people out there who are made more aggressive from video games. I know people who get aggressive when they see food because they're like, I'm going to get to that first. You know, I don't know. I find it very frustrating, but I am glad that they delineated between aggression and violence. And I think that's probably the main thing that's worth highlighting here. Usually what we're defending against is links between playing video games and violence.
And school shootings.
Exactly, exactly.
Movie theater shootings and stuff like that. It's not pointing towards that at all.
Right. And I think that we all react so strongly because we know, though, that the media is still going to use these reports to do that. The next time we have a major event, I'm sure that this study is going to be cited.
It also kind of goes into that thing where beer is going to give me cancer, but it's also going to help my heart disease. Like that,
right,
that kind of stuff.
It's, right.
Every year there's a new study out that's in favor of something
and you're
bad
right
in certain ways.
Yeah, totally. You're right. And on top of that, like, let's also remember that psychology, while I personally, trust it pretty decently, yeah, psychology is a soft science. Psychiatry and psychology, it's not like, oh, I know that these two elements can be combined to make this compound. Like, it's, well, people tell me this is how they feel after we try doing this, and so therefore this is the new standard. And I don't necessarily know that it's always accurate. That's why you end up with interesting things like the Stanford Prison Experiment, where, like, 30 years later when they repeat the study, they find out that it was basically all bogus. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's very interesting, though, and I while I'm a little disappointed because I never like to see stuff attacking, not necessarily attacking, but slightly discrediting my hobby a little bit, I do really appreciate that they chose proper wording, because I'm used to people rushing ahead with the violence argument. That pretty much sums that story up. I'd be very interested to hear what anyone else thinks about this. Feel free to comment and just let us know, do you agree with them? Do you think this is ridiculous? Or do you think maybe we're completely wrong on this? So just let us know. But moving along, we had some other kind of frustrating news. Red Ash has launched yet another Kickstarter, this time for the animated feature that they are going to be bundling, or it's going to be sold separately from the game, I guess. It's like a 15-minute animated feature.
Yeah, so Red Ash, did we talk about this a few weeks ago?
I think we did, but for those that need a quick refresher, Red Ash is supposed to be the spiritual successor to Mega Man Legends.
Yeah, it's Mighty No. 9 creator Inafune and his company making a Mega Man Legends version of Mighty No. 9. This is
so much controversy.
Yeah. So this is an animated side story or parallel story. I think they're in different worlds but follow the same characters.
Yeah, and a quick refresher for those who don't remember the game. This was the game that was kickstarted and they made about, oh gosh, I think they made about 100 and...
Yeah, not much.
Yeah,
not,
they not came they nowhere near... For. Yeah, they made I think, like, God, I don't want to be misquoted here, but they were nowhere near their goal, and then right near the end of the Kickstarter, they went, oh, hey, actually, there's a publisher who's come in and offered to publish the game, but we're still going to take the like your money if we make the goal, and we're going to make new stretch goals halfway through the Kickstarter, and there was a huge outrage, and there's been talk about possibly changing some of the Kickstarter guidelines to make it so you can't just have a moving, constantly evolving
it's
target.
It's really weird. It's once you decide that you're funded, you should be like, okay, we'll close this down. If we want to do something else, we'll do it at a later date.
And for those of you going, Mighty No. 9, what's that? Don't think you're crazy. That is the game that he previously kickstarted that has not been released yet.
Well, got delayed till next year.
I heard an interview, I think it's Team Meat who did the Super Meat Boy, and they say Kickstarter isn't even that great of a deal because you have essentially like 100 publishers or however many, you know, Kickstarter into it, thousands of publishers, and you have to answer to all these people. And I think these guys, you know, on one hand, there's probably something a little insidious about it that, like, you know, you're part of the game, and at the same time, they're kind of fleecing you. And then there's the other part is I think they think it'll be easier because you don't have to go through the publisher. But I think sometimes for these guys, it's actually easier just to have one person to account, you know, who's you're accountable to and who you meet deadlines with. And
sure,
like
but
that.
Kickstarter is not supposed to be an easier path to game development. It's supposed to be there, not even an alternate one necessarily. I'd say it's supposed to be your last chance to make the game that you want to make that the publishers have all refused. I'm sure. I mean, in particular, Inafune has said he's been trying to get this game made for ages, hasn't he? Yeah, and so like. I don't think it was really a matter of I don't think that the fans had anything to do with any of his decisions that he's made throughout this Kickstarter. I'm not going to go out there on a limb and say that he's done anything wrong, but I will say that I'm not 100% sure that I believe that the company came in when they did with their offer to pay for the rest of the game. Sure. And even with the game's Kickstarter, there was a very interesting, I think $23,000 donation, was it, on the last day of the Kickstarter? Which I always find troubling when, like, a huge percentage of the final jump to the end of the game suddenly comes in. Because I don't know. Do you know, can a creator actually back their own project?
Sure.
So, I mean, how do you know that they didn't just spend their own money to get it? Because here's
the
thing.
They can do that, yeah.
Well, but here's the thing.
As long as the money goes through, they're fine.
And that kind of bothers me a little. Because Kickstarter is not GoFundMe, so you actually have to hit your goal to get any of the money. And so if they're just investing their own money into it to hit the goal so that they can take less money than they actually need to make the game, that is very concerning to me.
But if they want to make that thing, it's better than the alternative.
Is it, though? Is a 15-minute anime better than nothing? Or would you rather they either did, like, an hour-long anime or nothing?
I mean, just in general, for a Kickstarter, if this is their person, if this is that team's dream to make this thing, and there's that.
I mean, didn't we already
entry?
See them get their dream? If this was their dream, wouldn't they have done it first?
Well, I'm just saying in general.
Sure,
for Kickstarter.
I mean,
I'm not saying for them specifically.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we did see this with a couple other Kickstarters recently, so that's fair enough.
And I think for a lot of people, like, Kickstarter's not always their last resort. It is an option for them. And if they find that this is the way that they want to deal with going through their project, that's the best way for them. So, I mean, I just feel like you generalized there a little bit before.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You're right. You're right. I'm guilty of that.
But yeah, back on track with this thing. This alternate anime that's happening for Red Ash, they're doing a second Kickstarter. Essentially, or a second crowdfunding.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that, actually.
You can. Star Citizen has been doing it for years now.
No, but I thought that if you failed your first one, you couldn't just put the exact same project back up.
No, I don't.
I mean, Star Citizen is doing different Kickstarters.
No,
module. Oh, is it? Okay.
I think
then.
So. Yeah, I think it's just a different crowdfunding effort.
I see now. Yep. So they tried to make the Indelible Legend. Then when that failed, now they're making the Indelible Legend is the game.
Yep.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, so the game failed. This is an alternate. This is a different project altogether.
You know, I apologize, guys. I promise. I did all the research. It's just, like,
it's,
maybe deliberately
it's
hard to keep track of.
No, but it shouldn't be like this because then people don't know what they're giving their money.
Exactly,
right.
How I feel about it, too. It's really interesting. But to be honest, I may be a little extra harsh on this because I don't have a dog in the race. I rarely back stuff on Kickstarter, and I certainly was not. I mean, personally, I was not a huge fan of the Mega Man Legends games. So I'm much more excited about Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that with all this extra development time that one's at least going to turn out nicely because I'm not in the market to watch the anime based on a game anyways.
Yep. The Red Ash thing, both of them failed. Both Kickstarters failed. The anime went onto a different crowdfunding site, and now they are at $2,728 out of $127,000. After like 5 days.
Well, while I may not be personally the kind of person who will back it, I still wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before I put my foot in my mouth again, let's move on to the next topic here. You know, it actually has been kind of a rough week, a lot of like kind of rough 2 weeks, kind of a lot of negative gaming news. We're going to move on to Time Magazine's virtual reality feature that they published, I think, a week ago now.
Yeah.
And, if you guys haven't seen it, it's possibly the most unflattering image of anyone I've ever seen. Their cover photo was a guy, like a 21-year-old guy.
It's
like,
Palmer Luckey from Oculus. Luckey.
Thank you.
He's the creator of Oculus, and they put him on the cover jumping.
It's clearly
on
a weird pose. Like,
yeah. With the Oculus headset on.
And
like,
his hands in the most ridiculous positions I've ever seen. Like, and he's on tiptoe. Fluttering. And
yeah.
And then they, for some reason, put a beach behind him.
Yeah.
Which I.
Because he's supposed to be there.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
It's a fantasy.
Have you seen the Google images where it's like one of them?
Yes.
He's on a Titanic.
It is wonderful. Well, and seriously,
all those
though,
mock-ups are great.
It wasn't just the images. The images I can get past because I get that it's old media trying to sort of be hip with the new technology. However, if you actually read the article, it's incredibly it's incredibly deprecating to gamers. Like, it's shockingly out of touch. Like, they're saying things like, you know, he's not your typical gamer. He speaks like in normal words and is actually kind of funny. And it's like, wow. That is a wow time.
Times have changed.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, honestly, I'm not that surprised. I've kind of felt like time has been a little out of touch for probably 5 or 6 years
at least. They're struggling, too.
Yeah, and I know that they're not doing super well, but this is like just a nail in the coffin. This is not good. I mean, I think that a lot of people are not going to forget this. I mean, the internet exploded. Yeah. Like you said, all the images and videos.
Well, there's like one of him on with Putin.
Right.
One of them on the toilet. Like, there's a lot of really funny. The thing with this, too, is it'd be a way to actually incorporate gamers into time, whether or not they actually would, you know, subscribe to the magazine or just go to their website or whatever, or, you know, purchase one of their other products. But, you know, it'd be a way to engage that a large audience that I think is pretty media savvy and media friendly.
I don't know that the media is savvy enough to realize that there is such a large audience.
I know. I think that's very true.
Obviously, the fact that they're willing to just, you know, write off every gamer that's not this guy, just assume gamers don't read this. They're not going to get annoyed. Yeah. It's just
I think taking the step to focus on VR for a cover story for Time is a big step. But man, did they just flubbed it so hard.
Absolutely. I don't know. Better luck next time if there is one time, but something tells me that no one in none of the young gaming technology industry is going to be accepting interview offers.
I mean, VR in general is such a hard thing to convey without trying it.
Yeah.
I can't even think of a good cover for that kind of thing without going back to some.
How about just not a posed one? I mean, I would have been fine with him just sitting down.
Oh yeah,
holding
just
the
have
stuff.
His.
I mean,
just
you
have
will...
his face and then have the Oculus like like on.
Or
his
you could
forehead.
Do like a split image where it's like him in his room and you see the virtual reality of one side.
Exactly.
And stuff like
like a fade to or something. Yeah. But here's the thing: what I really don't get is the pose. You don't jump wearing
I do not want to move at all when I'm wearing the Oculus.
Yeah.
I want to sit there and maybe be on like a swivel chair.
This is why I'm slightly actually, I mean, not to go down too much of a tangent, but this is why I'm actually more excited about like the HoloLens and AR is because I'm really not comfortable with the idea of walking around with blinders on. I'm clumsy enough in real life, let alone in virtual reality when there's cats underfoot and stuff. Like, oh God.
Someone always can always come up behind you and like put something there.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys realize it's going to be like falling asleep at a party. Like, there are going to be so many VR pranks on people, like just like putting light stuff on their head and seeing how much you can balance and all that. Like, it's going to be quite a thing. But yeah, you know, Time, just I can't even beseech them without making a Time pun, but please get up to date. I'm not going to say it.
Get with the times. I have no shame, Henry.
All right, John, fine. Time, get with the times. Let's not continue with the jaded coverage of gamers. That's been out of date for basically since I've been out of high school. I mean, let's not go down that road. We've finally gotten mainstream acceptance. There's no need to ostracize us for no real reason.
Well, and another point you made, a lot of people won't now accept interviews with Time, and you miss out on all these people who...
That's speculation.
Yeah, it's speculation, but I think it's fair speculation.
Sure.
And you miss out on a whole group of people that you don't just have programmers. You have people creating the music, you know, drawing the images, you know, even just kind of the virtual experience of, you know, having one of your writers come in and understand what VR is like. And who knows, Time might get it because it's big or whatnot, but this can't be a, you know, if I have my choice between time and just about anything else, I'll probably go with the other one.
Time, just one quick bit of advice. If you do ever get the opportunity to do more VR coverage, have your journalist try out the VR and write about their experience. Don't write an article about watching someone doing VR. It's
or just have an interview with the person who's
exactly
important in that company.
Exactly. Anyways, though, that's quite enough of that. Let's move on to actually some good news for once.
Yeah.
And John, you can speak to this the most, but they have come out and given a bunch more detail about changes to Destiny for the Taken King expansion.
They sure have. This thing's right around the corner, which is awesome.
It's going to be World of Warcraft.
It is. Basically, they're making some changes to how your character levels in the Taken King. They're getting rid of the light levels. So previously, you'd get up to level 20, just like you would in any RPG with your experience, and then your armor would dictate your light level, which is just increasing your level even further.
I think item level in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and now it's even more like that. Because
now it's literally that.
It is literally that. So basically, you can level up your character to level 40, and then you'll have your light. I don't know if it's a light level still or
it
just like
a
light
stat. It sounds like it's a stat because I saw the description and it sounds a lot like most of the stat descriptions.
And basically what it does is increases your attack and defense for your character.
I was under the impression
it's
that
an amalgamation
of
it's
that. Like more of an – I think it's more of an average of the two stats.
Sure. Okay.
But that's what –
you're given a rating based on the average of the attack and defense, which I think is kind of funny. I mean – one, because it makes it a completely unnecessary stat because attack and defense already exist. But also, I feel like, wouldn't it be better to take all of your stats and not just attack and defense? Because then aren't you going to have people who are going to try to game it by just getting tons of attack and defense? Or
those are really
the
only stats
so...
that your character is
okay, again,
by.
Not experience
your
with
gun,
Destiny
your guns
here,
have
so...
the other stats, like rate of fire or... bullet speed, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
So your weapons will be separate from your actual armor, which has the
rating. But adding on to that, they're adding some new armor slots, I hear.
Yeah.
They're going to make it so you actually get stats now, I guess, from the Hunter's Cloak and the Warlock's something, Binding or something?
Yeah.
What is it?
Each class has their own, like, special class-specific thing.
Okay.
Warlocks have, like, little armbands.
Gotcha.
Hunters have cloaks. Titans have little... like sashes that they
wrestling belts.
I guess, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Little butt flags, I guess. They are increasing the amount of bounties that you can take, which is great because it used to be like 5 and now it's 16.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool.
Which
is great.
And I guess you can turn them in without having to go back to the hub or whatever.
Yeah, so I guess Nathan Fillion's characters could be the person who will take care of all of that for you. They're making a lot of cool changes to Destiny.
One more big one that, sorry, just to make sure we don't miss it, is I as I understand it, your are they called Sentinels, has stats now?
Oh, the ghosts.
Or your ghosts. Yeah, whatever your little Peter Dinklage bot that's now a Nolan North bot.
Yeah, so.
And they gutted that, right? They took Dinklage out.
They took Dinklage out, they put Nolan North in, even in the previous content, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Well, I'd be kind of like sad if I was Peter
Dinklage.
They
should have like. Killed off that ghost and been like, hey, we have Nolan North ghost.
Like, it
would have
been really easy to retcon it. Or it's not even retcon, it's just to write him out.
But I guess they might change things further on down the road with the original content for the game.
Now that the game's finally coming out of beta.
Yeah, right? A year later? $100 later?
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at. First of all, I think if you buy the Taken King, you get all the DLC and stuff.
Yeah, if you buy the full $60 version, yes.
Yeah. And so I feel like this is something that'll bring me back in, because when I played the beta, the actual beta, I was actually pretty excited about it. And then when I got into the story mode, I think we talked off air about this, but I didn't like that. I couldn't understand the story.
Right.
I felt like I was doing the
there
same thing.
Story.
And I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over again.
There's a story. I'd explain it, but I don't have time to explain it.
Well, it's on YouTube. I think someone.
That's a quote from the game.
Yep. Oh, sorry. I think isn't there something on YouTube that put it together kind of?
Yeah, and there's also everything that you do gets you these grimoire cards, and you can actually go online and read all those things.
Now they're
That is the worst possible way to do lore.
Oh, no. But now they're doing that through the ghost, aren't they?
Yeah. So you can have the ghost scan things and actually tell you about things in the world, which is
the best,
a lot better.
The best way to do it, and I know I love this game, so maybe I'm partial, but is the BioShock way, where literally you just have a tape recorder and it plays while you're going through. That's the way to do that stuff. But anyways,
it'll kind of have that sort of feel to it.
Yeah, because it's like an audio log-ish thing.
Right.
Sure. And I like that. I mean, honestly, anything better than either going out of game is inexcusable, and even staying in game and reading blocks of text, like in like Mass Effect, for example, I think is a poor way to dispense dialogue. At very least, just have somebody read it to you, please, so I can keep playing.
There's a balance to be had. I mean, some stuff, reading through it is nice, but you don't want anything where you feel like you're opening, like, a chapter book.
Right.
And, yeah.
The times that I like reading stuff is when you're looking for, like, coded messages. Like, oh, there's a string of numbers in anything I read. I'm like, okay, I'm about to run into a safe, and I'm going to need these numbers.
Yeah.
That stuff I like.
That's awesome.
But outside of, like, making you feel clever because you noticed a little thing, I think text is not strictly necessary unless it's atmospheric or, like, relevant to the story.
So the thing with this is I like the core of the game. I felt like it was competitive, that the guns shot well, and you know they were kind of unique in how
And
they,
it doesn't seem like they're messing with that at all. Like the actual gunplay, that's why I kept going back, is I like shooting those guns.
Yeah, and I like that you felt like you had a customized character, that you weren't, you know, even with Grand Theft Auto, I like the customizations, but it's basically the same. Everyone's kind of the same height, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Right.
They all kind of look the
same body type.
Yeah. This way, at least there is some customization, and you felt like your character was yours. And there were so many things I liked about it. I just couldn't, like, when there's so many options out there, and there's so many better stories to be told and stuff like that, I couldn't justify spending hours upon hours doing the same, you know, strike or whatever.
Right.
If I didn't understand why I was doing it.
Yeah. Like you told me that you just finished Diablo 3. Did you get the same kind of feeling for the loot in Diablo as you did in Destiny? Or is that even a factor for you?
Isn't it a little different in Destiny just because Destiny is not like
Destiny
a loot
doesn't give
game.
You
It has well no it has loot, but you do not get loot. You don't, like, every other enemy is not dropping two items.
No, but there is
but there's
still
a lot
like
of loot.
Grind.
Sure. I mean, but I wouldn't call WoW a loot game either.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know, you know, with Diablo,
there's those things. Sorry.
With, debatable.
With Diablo, it's not like a mind blowing story, but it's compelling enough that I feel like a lot of that's the environment changes too.
Sure.
You know, with Destiny, I feel like you're in the same kind of board every time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, that is a good point. But Diablo found a balance where you're essentially doing the same thing, but there's enough. You know, if I change whatever the B command is or whatever console you're using, you feel like each move is actually significantly different than the next one.
Right.
And, like, randomly generated world makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
So, you know what? I didn't really think I'd go back to Destiny. I was really upset that, like, I bought it day one, and I did the thing where you download it into your Xbox so you, like, right away.
Yeah.
And it maybe was one of those things that it was so overhyped. I saw so many commercials for it. So many people were playing it that it was kind of let down. And I thought I wouldn't go back to it. And this is something I was very excited about. And now it's kind of, I'm getting that back. And I'll be careful, kind of dip my toes in first. But I think they're listening to people, which is the key. I mean, you listen to the people who play the game.
Tom, just do me one favor.
Yeah.
Buy it on day two.
Yeah. No, and that's probably what I'll do, honestly.
I'm buying it day one. In a few weeks, we should reconvene in this room and talk about that.
I'll totally not play it.
Another big thing with Destiny this week was Xur, the kind of the exotic salesman in Destiny, was selling Gjallarhorn, which is this super legendary.
I've heard of that and I've never played the game.
Yeah,
so.
it's a rocket launcher will drop occasionally, but it's pretty rare and a lot of people don't have it.
So everybody who has it is furious, right?
No, I mean, all the exotics are going to be meaningless in a couple of weeks anyways.
Oh, fair enough.
So I looked at it. I'm like, well, I don't have I've never gotten an exotic weapon or exotic anything in that game yet. And I had just enough strange coins for a helmet or Gjallarhorn. And I kind of looked between them. I'm like, Gjallarhorn, you're going to be worthless in a couple of weeks. I'm getting this helmet. So
exciting.
I passed up the rarest item in the game.
Do they have, like, any kind of transmutation style system in
Destiny?
Not
at the moment, no.
That's a little disappointing.
There's not enough weapons
But considering that they're phasing out a bunch of the exotics, unless they're going to reuse exotic skins? Exotics have unique skins, right?
They do.
Yeah, so, I mean, what, are they going to just retire all those skins?
I would guess for Destiny 2 or whatever that's going to be, they will add that function in.
Okay.
I meant to ask this. Do you think, because they're calling this an expansion, right?
Not it like is.
Do you think this is the way they're going to go? Like, they're going to kind of go expansion, then when the technology changes maybe? Or do you think that we'll see every 5 years or every 3 years like an actual whole new game?
As long as it sells.
Well, their game plan originally was Destiny, a couple small expansions, big expansion a year later, and then probably a couple more small expansions, and then actually the next big Destiny, like Destiny 2 or whatever it's going to be next year. That's kind of what they've been planning for a 10-year cycle.
Yeah.
Do they still seem to be on track for that?
I don't know. Especially with all the changes that they're making.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering.
But to be fair, I'd prefer they weren't rigid or whatever. That they adjust to what people need.
Yeah, I kind of like the WoW model, where it's just like, as far as you guys are concerned, we're making it forever. Yeah. Like, when you guys stop buying it, we'll stop selling it.
Yeah. The only thing that we know is that it's a 10-year plan for Bungie.
Which I like. Look, if you look at it 10 years from now and it's still a successful game, you'll say, hey, look, the first year, I mean, and people are calling this kind of a year-long beta, the first year was a learning experience. And if you end up with a better game and pushing, like, you know, kind of the genre forward,
yep,
that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even World of Warcraft had its teething problems, and it's been going for...
Maybe they'll put it on PC. I could play that on PC.
Hey, if they put that, like... Hear me now and hold me to this. If they put Destiny on PC, I'll buy it right away.
I know you will.
I'm shocked they don't.
I probably wouldn't hate it either. I mean, to be honest, I resubscribed to WoW out of curiosity after the last expansion announcement.
I almost did.
And it's kind of terrible because Draenor is probably my least favorite expansion. Yeah. But, you know, it scratches the itch, and I'm sure Destiny will scratch the itch too. The question is, will I enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, will I actually feel compelled to play through it, or will I just feel obligated to hit max level
like I usually do?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't go out and buy Halo games,
right, but
when
I've beaten all the Halo
campaigns through 3.
Okay.
I have not played 4. I only played online, so
they have that weight for the gunplay and for your running and stuff like that. I think you'd like that aspect of it.
Kind of like the shotgun loot Halo sort of feel. Ooh, I like that.
The hardest thing here is that you got this coming out in September and then Star Wars in November. And, you know, that's for someone who has limited time. Like,
you think that's bad. We're about to get Mad Max. We're about to get
Tomb Raider.
Just Cause 3.
And
Fallout. Rainbow Six Siege.
Fallout 4.
WWE 2K16.
I mean, you guys, it's going to be a really exciting end of this year. I cannot wait.
Well, this is like the calm before the storm, and I don't mind it. I was telling you guys earlier, I actually like that I can, you know, beat a Diablo 3 playthrough, you know, New Vegas, which I hadn't played before. I don't mind it, but it is kind of funny that all of a sudden, and it makes sense, this is right before the holidays, right? But, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be, okay, I have decisions to make, you know, like, what am I going to get first and what am I going to wait on?
I would love it if game developers, I know that this is just a general marketing thing, but I really wish that they would spread games out more because I think a lot of them really hurt their sales by releasing.
They kind of have been, but they mask it with, all right, it's coming out this fall, and then like a couple months before they're like, guess what? We're going to make it better and bring it out in the spring.
Yeah.
But and that's kind of a
fair enough, because there have been a lot more delays lately, but I feel like that's because developers are finally understanding that players may be
like
annoyed, but we'd much rather that you release it when it's done
than make
the promise.
We're lenient with that.
Except with, you know, Kickstarters that have weird, questionable details.
Sure. I was looking through like the new releases on PS4 yesterday. And I'm like, oh, what came out recently? Like, it's the summer. Almost nothing comes out during the summer. There was like a good 30 games that had come out.
Indie.
It was crazy.
Was it indie games?
Like RPGs. I guess indie games, but they also had some pre-sales for like Metal Gear and stuff like that.
Sure.
But like, now's the time if you do want to get into any smaller games. Like, there's so many out there. Like, go on your Xbox One, your PC, your PS4. Go take a look at like the recent releases in the last month. You'll probably find something that you like.
Definitely.
Well, and I'll say this: we talked about this off air. Go get Rare. The Rare,
Rare Replay.
That is
honestly
$30 for, you know, you get all the Banjo-Kazooies. Is the new one good? I played one and two.
Nuts and Bolts is weird. That it's not really a Banjo-Kazooie
game. It's so bad.
I like the
concept. It's like a crappy version of Lego Racers.
Did you ever play? What was it? Bad Piggies, like the Angry Birds offshoot, where you play as the pigs and you build vehicles out of like little pieces. So you build vehicles and nuts and bolts to complete challenges. So you can change like different aspects of it.
It couldn't be less of a Banjo.
Why didn't they make Banjo 3E?
Because
whatever you want to call it.
It's the eternal question.
Yeah, I know there's a big story behind it, but I'm not gonna speak without being 100%
a lot of
sure
the people left. It's like the people who are making Ukulele. Like a lot of those same people aren't at
either way
yourself anymore.
I think it's worth it literally for Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie. You have Jet Force Gemini, you have Conker's Bad Fur Day,
I think it's worth
hilarious.
It's worth it for
Perfect Dark.
Almost any one of those games, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, you were just saying Perfect Dark Zero is like $20 right now, but you can get Perfect Dark and all these other games for $30. Like,
and I hope they bring the, like they keep on adding on those, like the, you have another Perfect Dark or you have another Jet Force Gemini or something.
One of the crazy things about that game is this just came to light, I want to say in the last week or so, is that Grabbed by the Ghoulies, the original Xbox game, they actually did a remaster for it for this version, so it's actually an Xbox One game.
Yeah, I had heard that several of these are
very
remastered just for Xbox One, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and they didn't talk about it beforehand. It's like, yeah, this game's on here. It's like, oh, I wonder if they're emulating.
So,
and they weren't.
So one quick question here. I understood you couldn't have Donkey Kong 64 because that's like a Nintendo property, which was one of my favorite 64 games. And I understand you can't have James Bond because that's, again, James
Bond.
There's
a lot of licensing issues there.
But with Perfect Dark, I feel like that's fine. The one I don't get is, why can't you have Diddy Kong Racing? That was actually a pretty good game.
So Diddy Kong is also a Nintendo property.
And, is he the only
and
one?
And on top of that, he's all, the game, as I understand, that game was like had some weird licensing stuff with it because that racing game is like it's – it is the Mario World 2 of racing games. Like, they just took an existing racing game and slapped Diddy Kong into
it. It was originally supposed to be, I want to say it was a Rad Racer.
I think you're right.
Or
something like
that. It was
that.
Fun.
It was,
I loved
it was
that
one
game.
Of their previous titles that they were bringing to N64, and they partnered up with Nintendo to throw Diddy Kong into it.
I think that's telling as to why there's so many strange characters like the elephant guy and stuff, where it's like, I don't remember these guys
but
from
TikTok.
You guys really like those
guys. Oh, I love Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah,
if you want to talk about
Diddy
Kong Racing all day.
We actually need to rate
things
I apologize. In here. No offense or anything, but we are on a clock. Let's move on to something I'm really excited about, and I'm sure John is too. Hearthstone's Grand Tournament expansion is going to be launching August 24th.
That's four days
from now. Yes, I'm very excited. They're going to be introducing all those new abilities we spoke about a couple weeks ago, including
Joust,
which is kind of terrible. It's it's like Clash from Magic, where you reveal your top cards, or it may be a random card, and whoever is the higher, is it mana cost, wins?
I think so.
And it's the exact same way it works in Magic, and so then some additional text on the card will activate. Or my very favorite new ability, which is...
Inspire,
thank you. And you basically get bonuses every time you use your hero ability, which I think is great. Because I really like the idea of making more use of the hero abilities. I love the class. I really like the class distinction, the way they did the different classes versus like how you would do different colors in like Magic. Right. And I think anything they can do to make the classes feel more and more specialist and less similar is great.
Yep.
Have you now? I know Max. Did you hear about how? Were you here when Max told us about how he broke down and bought all of the DLC and spent $50 pre-order on 50 cards?
I don't think I was here for it, but I did hear about it. And yeah, that's
so. Have you broken down and spent any money yet?
No. I do have some money on my Blizzard wallet, so I might just use that.
Yeah, right. You're going to use that for Legion.
No, so I bought $20 of Blizzard money thinking I could renew my WoW subscription a few months ago, but that's not a thing. You can only use your check card, credit card, or a subscription card to renew.
Well, what is different with Blizzard money? Like, why do they... and it just died.
They want it for like, items, like in-game items or cards for Hearthstone. Like, I could go buy a pet or a mount for WoW, but I can't buy a subscription for WoW using
that money. So that's like... It'd be like Xbox Live. Like, it'd be like if you couldn't use that money to buy a game, basically.
Right. Right. It's ridiculous. But... I might use it for that. I haven't gone through all the previous adventures. I've done a little bit of Naxxramas.
Sure.
Kind of want to get to the Blackrock
Mountain. Yeah, Blackrock Mountain.
Yep.
Are you like, what kind of collection do you have going? Have you collected most of the Goblins versus Gnomes stuff
yet?
No.
And so, like, you and Max have talked about Hearthstone a lot, and I'm a super novice at that game. I play it occasionally, like whenever I want to get that little bit of a fix. Like,
we should play.
I want to play a card game. I want to jump into this. I think I'm ranked 24 right now.
I mean, that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, my highest rank was like 8, but on average, I usually float around like 16 to 18.
But I played like 5 rounds the other night, and that was about it. Like, I'll jump in and I'll make a new deck just occasionally, just to toy around with it. But I haven't made anything super serious yet. Have you played it at all?
I have, and I know it's addicting because some of those guys on the Twins, like Trevor May, who came in here.
Yeah, he was hooked.
He was playing. No, I'm not making this up. He was playing and then had to do an interview with the media and handed it off to someone else. He wouldn't quit out of the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
I had to do that the other night. I had to, like, put off something else.
Yeah, it was the media trying to.
Yeah, the media was like, hey, John, we need a comment on something. I'm like, hold up. I just started this match. I can't leave this right now.
But yeah, he actually handed it to another player and was like, "You got to figure this out. I got to talk for
just
5 minutes.
Pull these cards up into the playing field.
That's
fine.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, I really love the appeal. I've gotten so many people to just give it a shot, and they almost all have just gotten hooked. Yeah. And you know, that's really exciting. But also, I think that Activision has realized just how successful that is, because some of the other news we had this week is that. They're going to be releasing a Skylanders card game inspired by Hearthstone, but not exactly the same. And for those that don't realize this, Blizzard is owned by Activision.
Yeah, so it's not wholesale, just copying.
Well, it kind of is, but it's just not a big deal because
it's
their
family.
Own company. Yeah, but it's going to have kind of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Style gameplay thing.
I do like Yu-Gi-Oh!
You get physical cards.
As a kid.
There's a new one that just came out. You should play it. All right, sorry.
You get no problem. You get physical cards, and you scan them into the it's like an iPad game, I guess.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like then you see the monsters actually fight each other. And there's been rumors that you're going to have some additional level of input after you've like summoned them. It's not just necessarily a canned fight. Yeah. And so that's pretty exciting to me. I've wanted that for a while. Although to be honest, I'll be more excited when I can do it with my AR.
Yeah, like, if they could just make Yu-Gi-Oh.
I've wanted that since I saw it for the first time as a kid.
That's all I want.
Like, it'd be the greatest thing ever. I would absolutely love it.
Is this a way to get younger people to do it? You think that's the
Well, younger people are already buying Skylanders in droves.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the good thing is, like, you know, this is not necessarily going to be an overlapping audience. Like, I don't think that a ton of young people are super into Blizzard IPs, like very young, like middle school age.
Right.
Whereas I do think that I'm sure that outside of the hardcore collectors, you know, people who are playing Hearthstone aren't going to be like, oh man, I really want to play that new Skylanders trading card game. We've only seen a trailer so far, but to be honest, from the trailer, I was excited at the idea. Then I saw the trailer and was kind of like, eh, like it looks too much like Skylanders for me to be interested.
It's Toys to Life, and they
too much chibi weirdness too. Like their heads are the size of their bodies, which kind of it's cute, but it's not cool. Give me a blue eyes white dragon any day of the week.
Is there going to be a Meebos Hearthstone?
So. There's a game that's coming out in a few weeks that's called Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer that has cards like this that you scan into the game.
Well, and that's not even – I mean, they've had scanning cards since the first Animal
e-reader
Crossing.
Yeah. And stuff like that.
Yeah, even for the GameCube, they had scannable cards with item codes. That's how you got all the best items like the NES games.
Right.
Oh, my God. Bring it back, Nintendo. You have no idea. That is part of the reason that I've recommended Animal Crossing to multiple friends is I'm like, it's like an emulator suite for the NES in addition to a full, like, Sims-style living game. Like, better than The Sims. I love Animal Crossing, the first one. The rest leave a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
I don't know how you got it so right on the first one, and then the rest are not as good somehow.
They were some of the best, like, Super Smash Bros. Levels, too. It was just a very unique art design and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, to your point, they got it probably halfway right, and then it came to America with the GameCube one.
That's true. That's true. Because you're right. The original one was for N64,
yeah,
correct?
It was for the disk drive.
Yeah. Yep. It was the disk drive. Yeah, really? Yeah. Okay. I remember online once I also saw like a leaked cartridge that said Animal Crossing on it for N64, too. That may have been, I suppose it's always a risk.
It might have
internet.
Been like one version of that or something.
Sure. I think they said it required the Donkey Kong memory expansion piece. So I'm not entirely sure, but it was, you know, I'm just saying I loved the original American Animal Crossing, yeah. And I highly recommend it to anybody who has, you know, who has a GameCube and is looking for something to play, because seriously, it's excellent.
Still good.
But yeah, back to Skylanders. You know, if you like card games and Hearthstone's not really up your alley, or you have got kids and they like Skylanders, but you maybe would like it to be a little bit more involved or a little bit more strategic, like good thinking games and stuff like mm-hmm. that, maybe give it a try. And we'll be hearing more about it, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future.
Yep.
So yeah, that's fairly interesting. You were talking earlier about how you were going through your PlayStation Plus and looking for good games. It sounds like you found a couple, but it also looks like Sony's going to be giving you guys the option to pick out your own good games
here. So they have three different games right now. There's Armello, which is a card...
I don't like
RTS.
It.
RTS.
A lot of people really like it. It's like an indie game, right?
Yeah, it looked interesting back when they showed the first trailer. It's kind of Game of Thrones with cutie animals. At least, like, the
when
story
you say
that
cutie animals, is it like anthropomorphized animals, or is it like actual, like, you know, like hand drawn animals or whatever?
Halfway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like werewolfy looking people.
Sure, sure.
It's yeah, I guess.
I was thinking more like Chippendale or something like
kinda,
that.
Yeah, kind of closer to that.
Or like
a Pandaren.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
So it's Armello. There's Grow Home, which
vote
is
for
that.
Grow Home.
Yeah, you vote for Grow Home.
It's so good.
It's the, I'd say, of the three, the most important.
It's that strange indie-seeming Sony game.
Yep. And then there's a game called Zombie Vikings, which I don't really know what that is.
I have no idea what that is. Seriously, you guys, Grow Home is, I was shocked by how much I enjoyed it. Yep. It's a weird indie-feeling 3D platformer where you play as a solar-powered robot who is trying to collect these star seeds as you terraform a planet.
It's French chibi robo.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really enjoyable. It's very cute. The story, there's not much of a story, but what they kind of talk about is very intriguing, so you're always interested, and a definite feeling of progression the whole time, partially because you get, like, you start out walking on a beach, and you end the game up, like, 15,000 meters in the air. Yep. Like, it's really a lot of fun. Lots of jumping around, and you'll get different kind of... sort of Metroidvania-y unlocks that simplify what you're trying to do. And I don't want to give any away because there's some pretty cool surprises. But seriously, even if this doesn't win, I highly recommend checking out Grow Home. It's also available on PC, which is why I know
what
it is.
I think last time I heard it was far and away ahead of everything else.
Good, it should be.
Although probably the cheapest of the three.
Although I will say it's worth noting that Armello is getting a lot of support from, I think it's a vocal minority, but I could be wrong. I'm hearing a lot of people saying the only choice is Armello, like it's so good and this and this and that. But
that would be the other choice of the three, hands down.
Sure.
Well, if you don't vote for one, does it not come up again, or do you just like the next month you could choose Armello?
I don't know. I think they're giving a discount to whatever games don't make it as the free game. So
and then probably a new batch, I think, of three every month. Is it?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I like the idea of that, although I do find it amusing, and you kind of pointed this out, that the cheapest one looks like it's going to win, and that is one problem. I have this problem a lot on Steam when they do the vote for what game you want to be discounted next. You'll get like a bunch of fans who often already own the game and stuff just picking
like
what they consider the best game.
Novel.
Yeah, rather than choosing something that's either really expensive that you can get heavily discounted or choosing something that maybe is not as successful, which would be pretty cool.
Usually it's whenever one of those comes up, and let's say I have three of those games, I'm like, you should probably buy this one. I'm going to vote for this one.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
That's the game that you should be caring about.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of exciting. I really like that we're seeing so much experimentation in terms of delivering content on all the consoles. We've got the new early access program on Xbox. We're seeing, you know, more player choice on PlayStation. So I really hope that this stuff continues. I think it's a great trend.
Same here.
This is a really interesting one. So Chinese Room has recently released a game called Everyone's Gone to Rapture. It's... supposedly, I know John's going to take issue with this, but it's being very broadly described as a bit of a walking simulator, not in a bad way.
It's more like a crawling simulator.
Yes, that's the joke that everybody's making.
Hey, yo.
So here's the thing. Chinese Room made a last-minute change to their user interface based on QA feedback, where they used to have a gradual sprint as you kind of are walking in the same direction. You kind of ramp up slowly to a full speed. But playtesters, rightfully so, in my opinion, requested player input to control the sprint. Like, even just from the perspective of, like, if you give someone a jump button when they're bored, they'll jump around.
Yep.
players like to be able to do something. And so giving them that sprint button was a concession that the Chinese room made. However, they seem to have forgotten to put it in the tutorial or to have it listed in the key bindings.
Yeah, I guess it was too late in the production. Where
well, it was an oversight.
It was an oversight, too. Yeah, they say it was too late in the production for it. Anyways, I think the thing that they missed was probably just speeding up that character to begin with.
Yeah, probably. But really quick, just to round it up, all of the reviews came out and not a single reviewer found the sprint button.
Yeah.
And almost all of them complained about the movement speed of the character. Now, here's a quick question for you guys. Whose fault is that? Is it a game reviewer's responsibility to thoroughly test everything, or is it just the Chinese room's own fault? They should have known better.
The latter.
Okay, because, you know, I do kind of find that a little surprising, because I never look up key bindings
You're never going to play an RTS and try every single key on your keyboard.
Yeah, but I do, but sure. I do, though, because, like, I use hotkeys.
Okay.
But I know what you mean.
The reviewer may have a protocol, though, where they look at the key bindings and, you know, or whatever routine they get in, and maybe you throw them off.
Well, and it's worth noting, the problem isn't that no one hit R2, which was the new sprint button.
It's such a gradual increase.
You have to hold it for 3 or 4 seconds before
it's
you
like
hit full
8 speed. Seconds before
oh, wow.
full speed.
Just as a general concept, what do you think of that? Where I know with the NHL hockey game, that's how it works. Like, there's no turbo button. You just, as you skate, you get faster.
Right.
I hate it.
See, I like it for that game, but I think in a non-sports game, that's not the way to go.
No, for a game where you're walking around a town and walking at a snail's pace, like you have a broken ankle and you're just dragging it behind you the whole time, it's not good for that at all.
Honestly, this is kind of a shame, because I feel like the Chinese room has had kind of a tough time with their last few releases.
Right.
Not wholly undeserved, but I hope they can get a break, because they do some interesting stuff.
You said do.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
they do some interesting things, but I feel like their delivery tends to be a little flubbed. Also, I'd really like to see another game where you can do stuff besides walking from them.
Right.
Maybe that's too much to ask, but still, like, because didn't they make that real weird MMO or something like that? Like, one of their first games?
I don't know. All I know is a Machine for Pigs and Deer
I think it was
Esther.
The game before that, but I could be mistaken there. I don't want to speak out of turn. But, a Machine for Pigs, in my opinion, big disappointment.
Right.
Deer Esther, a lot of people really liked it. I really did not. Right. Very, very strongly did not. And then now we've got Everyone's Gone to Rapture, which the idea of is really intriguing to me. I almost care enough to try it, but I'm just gonna go watch a YouTube video because I just can't be bothered. I'm sure I can find a supercut that will tell me all the story without having pointless walking in between it all. Hopefully in the future they'll be more careful to vet it, and I think that the lesson for all developers to learn is don't do last minute changes, guys.
Yo, speed up your characters.
Yeah, just make everybody super fast. Please,
just
please.
Quake level.
As fast as you can make them is as fast as I'll learn to handle it.
Speed run it.
Yep, exactly.
You can't even speed run in that game.
Speaking of speed runs, we have an anti speed run going on right now. Twitch has taken on an all new challenge. So as we know, Twitch has done Twitch Plays Pokemon. They did Twitch Plays Metal Gear Solid, or Metal Gear was it? It was one of the 8-bit ones, so I think it was just Metal Gear.
It was probably Metal Gear.
And they did beat that.
Oh, good.
And now they've taken up the most challenging one yet. Twitch is trying to play Dark Souls. Yeah.
So I was watching this when it first started. They just got a character creation, and they were running the game like you would at full speed, like you would have a controller in your hands, and people were just inputting things in the chat. And having the character roll and walk into a wall and go into the menu and just, like, total chaos the whole time. They hit a wall, like a literal wall, for about 15 minutes. And I'm like, all right, this will never happen.
Right.
In the two or three days since I watched it. It's been going for like 7 days.
Yeah, seven or eight now.
They've adjusted the game where it actually stops for 30 seconds and people vote on what the next action is.
As I understand it, there's two modes. First, you vote on if you want to do democracy or
chaos, which was always a thing since like Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Sure. And so for those who haven't been following all of these Twitch Plays, democracy basically pauses for 30 seconds to take a bunch of input votes, and then whoever wins, that's the motion that's done.
Yep.
Chaos takes input in real time. So when 30 people are spamming all different things or the same thing again and again, the character just spazzes out and rolls backwards and forwards and backwards.
It takes the commands whenever it can.
Yes. So there is a global cooldown, if you will, in between animations.
So they Twitch beat their first boss last night.
Yeah, I'm kind of actually blown away by this. I love this whole, like, if you put, you know, an infinite number of monkeys in a room with typewriters, they'll produce the full works of Shakespeare
nonsense.
Put fish
in a fishbowl and play Street Fighter.
Oh, God,
with
that's
them.
My favorite one.
It's so good. I love fish play Street Fighter.
Yeah, it's
so
excellent.
Much.
If you guys haven't checked that out, as the fish swim around their tank, each part of the tank has buttons bound to it, and using light sensors, they, like, detect where the fish is, and it makes the fish fight each other
it's
in
so
Street
good.
Fighter. It's excellent. And they have betting and stuff, so it's hilarious. But, Twitch, I am eagerly looking forward to see how far you guys can get.
Congrats. Watch out for those pools.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't wait until you guys move on to Catherine.
That might actually be manageable.
You think so?
If they do this whole, like, stop, like, pause the game for 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that might actually make it too easy. Well, it depends, though. There are anarchists literally on there just deliberately trying to screw everyone over.
But once people get into, like, serious mode... And, like, we need to beat this thing.
Yeah, you know that they had a dedicated team when they beat that boss, because that's just, I mean, it's not the hardest boss in the game or anything by any means, it's not an easy one either compared to most games.
I guess, like, the last three turns of that fight where the boss had, like, one hit left, the character had about one hit left, the character had one fireball, and they shot the fireball, missed, the boss hit them, and had they had a sliver of life left, and they managed to roll up and then just hit him with the axe. Like,
excellent.
they switched to the axe and rolled and hit the boss. Like, how does that happen in a group situation like that? It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I guess. That's hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah, you guys can check it out yourselves. Just, Google Twitch Plays Dark Souls. It'll be the first result.
Twitch.tv/Twitch Plays Dark Souls.
There you go. And, yeah. It'll always be going for the next
3 years or so.
Presumably. Or it'll be like Metal Gear Solid, where it'll go on for weeks, and then in 1 week, they'll just finish the whole thing. And then foul play.
It'll move on to Dark Souls 2.
Yes. So I've got one more news story that I want to wrap the show up with today, and this is a bit of a broad one, but we heard 2 weeks ago at Gamescom that the new World of Warcraft expansion is coming out, and it is called World of Warcraft Legion. It is adding in I believe, Shattered Isles as the new location.
That is correct.
And it is going to heavily feature Queen Azshara, Illidan, and the new playable class, the Demon Hunter, which I am very excited about. John, what are your thoughts on this?
I think there's a lot of stuff that they're throwing into the game. It almost seems like the kitchen sink to me. They're throwing in Azshara, who we've never directly faced before, or at least... a dungeon.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
With her name in it. To kind of see what she's up to. Illidan's back, which was the big bad from Burning Crusade.
And Frozen Throne.
People love Illidan a lot. He's in Frozen Throne?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Frozen Throne.
Yeah, Warcraft 3.
I was thinking Wrath of the Lich King. No, wait, he was dead.
It would have been sweet, though, if they'd had another showdown between Illidan and Arthas. That was, like, one of my favorite moments in all of Warcraft.
And then Gul'dan's in there. You get to play as a demon hunter.
Yeah, and the Demon Hunter has such excellent abilities as a slow fall that he can turn on with his wings and double jump.
So
double jump.
I don't get why people are in such a tizzy about double jump.
I think that they just want it on their existing characters.
Have they ever jumped in World of Warcraft? It is the worst thing in the world. Like,
clearly you've never played WoW with me.
You can't even control it in midair, can you?
You can't change direction midair.
No, but it's like can you double jump?
I would presume your double jump, you can change direction,
I don't think it will.
I think it will.
We're going to have to look this up. We're going to have to ask the developers.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure more will come out about it, but even if it didn't, I would not mind.
About that,
I am one of those people, like I was just saying earlier, give the player a jump button so they can jump. I am the guy who's waiting for a dungeon, running in a circle in Ironforge, jumping and jumping.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine, but if you actually want to, like, navigate
when
you're jumping,
fighting on my melee characters, I'm jumping the whole time. whole time that I'm fighting. I'm not even kidding. Like, just I'm my elemental shaman.
Set your thumb on space bar.
Well, I only... yeah, exactly. I mean, it's easy
enough. Auto-jump macro.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... I really like jumping. I played... My first character was a night elf, and
it's actually
he can do flips.
Every time I see
me.
Henry on the porch, he's just jumping. Yep. I'm like, dude, you gotta just
chill
out
for a bit.
Just doing
front flips every fourth or fifth jump.
Yeah, or a spin. You just... go between races.
You know, of all of those special flavor animations, the backflip is the one that really throws me. It just looks good. Physically impossible.
Is that the Worgen?
Yeah, it's the Worgen. And the way they do the animation, like, it's like, there should be more frames to this animation. Nah. Like, this does not look right.
It's that MMO jank.
It's like two frames into the backflip. He's, like, already upside down completely. Like, it's just hilarious. But yeah, I'm super excited about this. Some of the other features they've announced are... they're going to be adding in legendary weapons that are
artifacts.
Sort of, sorry, yes, artifact weapons that are unique to each class. So
each spec,
are the weapons spec. Each weapon is unique to each spec.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
There's like 36 weapons that they're adding.
An example is, I believe it is dual wield Death Knights are getting the two shards of Frostmourne, which they are reforging into. Basically, some R.A. Salvatore fan fiction.
Yep. You're going to drist it.
Yeah, exactly. You got Twinkle and Icing Death going on, and you'll be all set. But yeah, you'll be dual wielding shards of Frostmourne. DPS paladins are going to be getting the Ashbringer, and you know, there's going to be all kinds of cool, unique legendary artifacts from the Warcraft universe. I'll be really interested to see what the Demon Hunters get, though, because surely they can't give you the Blades of the Illidari.
They probably can.
But then what does Illidan have?
I mean, Illidan is still in a crystal right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now. I mean, he could have his own. There's a lot of time travel that happens.
But they're the Blades of the Illidari.
They could probably have something else. There's different Illidari.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, well, yes. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see what they do with the story. Because to be perfectly honest, like I've said before, I've read all the WoW books, and I really, really enjoy the World of Warcraft lore. But, I really think they've gone past the point of even a big fan giving them the time of day with this story. Like, it's ridiculous. We had the Caverns of Time were our first time travel. Then now we've got Draenor, where it's not really time travel. It's like parallel dimension hopping because there's too many differences in the timeline and the changes don't affect our current world.
We don't know that yet.
Well... I mean, the fact that Thrall didn't just cease to exist
Like, Henry and I have kind of had discussions over the last week or so about Warcraft lore.
This fool thinks that the lore is just fine.
I've been changing my opinion on it a bit.
I mean, I have several.
As we go, but
I have several issues that I take with it. Like, I really think that so the only two races can play as the new class,
which I'm fine with.
Yeah, which that I'm fine with. It's the Night Elves, of course, and then the Blood Elves.
Not Blood Elves.
Now, here's my issue. This would have been an awesome opportunity to introduce a bunch of new Blood Elf lore. Blood Elf lore has not done a very good job of progressing since they were introduced in Warcraft. And
they just like power.
Yeah, they like power. We get it. Well, make us a unique, different kind of Demon Hunter. Maybe even have some, like, how about instead of faction-specific classes like they first started with, what about, like, faction-specific abilities, like your melee ability is just, even if it just looks different or has one slight difference between, but you know, if they could make it more like, you know, mana burning when you're playing as a Blood Elf, whereas with the Night Elves it's more like, you know, sucking up demonic energy and that kind of stuff. It just it would have been a great opportunity to develop the lore for once instead of just retconning things to work again and again, because this is in the Warcraft universe, this is like the third or maybe fourth time that Illidan has been a main villain in one of the games or expansions. He was a villain in Warcraft 3. He was a villain in the main villain in the Frozen Throne.
We don't know if he's
a
villain in this, though.
We don't know if he's a villain in this, but he was discovered by the main villain, and we know that he's going to be a boss again.
Well, so we don't know he's going to be a boss. We know Gul'dan's going to be a boss.
All right.
Illidan might have that change of heart.
Hope springs
he's
eternal.
Being used by the Legion. Anyways, it's an expansion that's not out yet. We won't know anything for about a year, probably.
And we certainly can't draw any educated guesses based on
beta
two decades
year, folks.
Worth of Warcraft lore.
You can fight about it still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we will.
Yes, we will, and we'll be continuing to fight about it, I'm sure, over the next couple weeks on the podcast. So,
anyways, it seems cool. I like that they're doing another expansion this quick. Because they've been talking about it for a while. I'm super done with Draenor.
Like I said, I resubbed and I'm so bored. I basically resubbed so that me and my friend could complain about how bad this expansion is. Yeah. So bring back professions, you guys, please.
I heard they're trying to rework that a bit.
Good. And also, please don't squander. Okay, so one last new feature I want to mention before we go today.
Yep.
They're adding in the new version of garrisons, which are your class-specific...
Class halls?
Thank you, class halls. So, like, for example, the shaman are going to have a class hall that's just outside the maelstrom. So it's supposed to be, like, relevant based on the history of that area.
Yeah.
And you, your character is the leader of your class hall,
right.
Like every character you have is the leader of their respective class halls, and it's supposed to be like the, you know, garrisons 2.0. please, you guys, do it right this time. Just give us customizable player homes. That's all we ever wanted.
That's probably not gonna happen.
I know, but make it more customizable than the garrisons.
I never got the player home thing. Give me some
decorations or something. Really? You didn't like the idea of, like, what if instead of just having a garrison where you can choose between, do you want to make, you know, a mining thing or a fishing thing? What if you could choose to mount Onyxia's head on your over
there's
your hearth,
like,
so you can show people that you've beaten raids, and you can show off your achievements of your character. You could have like mannequins with. You could have mannequins. Well, that's the thing. People do see it. I mean, they absolutely would if you had something to show off. There's no point in anybody seeing your garrison outside of for like an achievement, because garrisons all look the same.
But when they go to their garrison, it's their stuff. Like, it's their garrison, so no one's ever going to see
my player housing.
I know you can.
You can visit each other's garrisons.
I also don't play with people. I usually
Well, if you don't play a massively multiplayer online game with people, that's
multiplayer
not
by myself.
The game's fault. Yeah, sure. I mean, I like to raid and stuff like that, so I
just
do
get
play
really mad
socially.
When someone ganks me, and that's
I don't play on PvP
it.
Servers, or in PvP in general, so that might be the difference.
The real way, or
you just broke my heart a little bit.
Real way to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people like PvP versions of MMOs, but me personally,
put that danger element in there.
I'm not very competitive when I play games anyways. Correct. Outside of like strategy games, I really prefer to play single player for the most part. Yeah. I play a little bit of like free to play first person shooters, but only if the stakes aren't too high. That's why I like things like Dirty Bomb that are so heavily objective based, because I just get tired of getting sniped all the time when I don't even see who shot me or whatever.
When's Dirty Bomb getting player housing? I've been wondering this for months.
Very funny, John. All right. Well, I think that is the signal that it is time to wrap things up for the day. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. This has been the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. We really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show, and please be sure to check us out on iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again, and as always, game on.